702.
The Big Interview
with Bongani Bengwa.
It's a quarter after seven. Let's look now at the decision of the Department of Basic Education to allow or to no longer allow the publication of matric results. That's to be challenged in the High Court in Pretoria this morning. This is ahead of the release of those results on Thursday this week. The department says, according to Section 14 of the Protection of Personal Information Act, doing so would disclose private information of candidates who wrote the exams. The nub of the issue is whether these results are in fact personal information, and does the popular legislation forbid its publication? We're joined now by a director at Worksmen's Attorneys, Amor Berger Smit, to discuss this issue. Amor, a very good morning to you. Thank you for your time this morning.
Morning, Bongani, and morning to your listeners.
We just heard, of course, in Eyewitness News, the department argues that they consulted the information regulator before making this decision. Do they have a case?
Well, you know, I think the first instance, what we're dealing with is indeed personal information. That exam number that a learner gets constitutes personal information. It's a unique identifier, and it is personal information. But what we also need to understand, I think there are two very important aspects. Number one, the Protection of Personal Information Act in itself does not prohibit the publication of the matric results. However, and that's the second very important point, the Promotion of Access to Information, the POPI Act, prescribes 8 conditions that everyone that deals with information, that processes information, in this instance, the department that deals and processes the exam results of our matriculants, must comply with. And it is clear that the department is not in a position to stand up and say that they're complying with the 8 conditions, and therefore they are not publishing the information. So we must not be under the impression that the legislation prohibits the publication. And, you know, we also need to realize one thing, and I think that's exactly why this matter is being debated so fiercely, that the right to privacy is not an absolute right. It must be balanced against other rights. For instance, you know, whether it is journalistic expression, freedom of expression. So there are various aspects that come into play.
And I'll talk about one of those in a moment, but just help me understand what you mean. You're saying essentially there is no blanket prohibition of the publication of this information. And so even if you can make the case that it is private information, it does not necessarily mean that that's the only standard that must be met before you decide it cannot be published.
That is 100% correct. So, yes, it is private information. Let's stick and accept that. That's the case. But that in itself does not mean you can't publish
right.
it. Now, we need to think whether there's a lawful basis, a legitimate interest existing to, or if it's in the public interest to publish this information.
Amor, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. We'll come to the public interest debate. But the department has, for example, received support from, among others, including Childline, who have said, and I want to come back to that question of balancing rights, that publishing this information is an invasion of privacy and an affront to the dignity of the candidates. That's a good argument, surely?
Well, indeed, that speaks to the balancing of rights. But we need to remember one thing. Stating that the POPIA legislation prohibits the publication based on privacy and dignity is incorrect, because POPIA does not refer to dignity. Now, there are other rights as well, and we can't favor one right in our constitution above the other rights. So, you know, we need to look at all the rights in the Constitution, and one of those is access to information as well. So we need to balance all these rights, and we can't just lift one up and say, but hold that up and say, but this is the absolute right, because that's not what our Constitution provides for, Bongani.
All right, now let's talk about the public interest. Why is it in the public interest that this information be published? Because, of course, as you will well know, there is a difference between something being in the public interest or it being interesting to the public.
Indeed, and if we look at the public interest in the first instance and consider that, I would argue that, you know, if we just look at journalistic expression and freedom of expression and access to information, the legislation clearly talks to the fact that it's in the public interest to allow the free flow of information to the public through the media and the recognition of the right of the public to be informed. So that is also a right that we need to take into consideration, and the POPIA legislation specifically talks about that. But at the same time, and back to the balancing of the rights, Bongani, the POPIA legislation also says if you consider the public interest, you must also look at safeguarding the protection of personal information of data subjects. So let's just go back and understand what historically, over the past couple of years since 2014, what's been published.
Yeah.
And that was this exam number and the ID number and the exam center. So we have not been publishing the names of students in any event. And, you know, the argument about whether it constitutes personal information, that exam number, it
yeah.
is identifiable personal information, but it would take quite a bit of work for you and I to uncover the exact student behind that number, wouldn't
right.
it?
Right. So, but so the fact that it's a unique number or unique to that individual, as you say, it doesn't necessarily mean that it would be easy to find out who it is.
Indeed, it would be very difficult to identify that individual.
And of course, we've got to think about a number of aspects here because, you know, we keep an eye on these matric results and what they mean and what the trends are and what the patterns are. And those sorts of things, that information is in the public interest in terms of, if nothing else, as a metric of how our education system is performing.
Indeed. And I think if we look back historically, every year post the matric results being released, we would have read in the media a number of opinion pieces, and journalists would have analyzed this information in detail. And, you know, if we look at, you know, researching trends, you're so right. It is important for us as a society to analyze this and comment on it, let alone the fact that we need to remember that it is the taxpayers that fund the education system. So isn't it in the interest of taxpayers to understand how successful the Department of Education is in spending the taxpayers' money?
Are there perhaps considerations that the department needs to think about should this not go their way in terms of how to go about this? Let's talk about the issue of consent. When is that required in terms of whose information may be published, and how does the department deal with it if there are objections?
Yeah, I think that takes us back to these 8 conditions that are referred to right at the beginning, that the department will have to get their house in order to comply with it. But we need to remember one thing. Consent is, POPIA is not consent-based. So to publish or process personal information does not in itself necessarily require consent. Having said that, Bongani, for the information of children to process that, to publish it in this instance, consent is an absolute requirement because that's an exception in terms of the legislation. So for learners below the age of 18 to publish information, consent would be required from a parent or a guardian. However, above 18, you need to look at other lawful bases, for instance, a contract or whether it's in the legitimate interest that I refer to. Now, an easy way to deal with this as well going forward is for the department, and I assume they're busy with the process, to put in place a detailed privacy policy and a privacy statement to inform people, to inform parents and learners in the interest of openness how they will be dealing with the personal information and publishing this information. Bongani, I think it's important to realize that this information, exam result information, is published internationally. And POPIA also says, take into consideration what happens internationally in applying and in interpreting the legislation and how you deal with that. So we need to lift our heads also
right.
to understand what happens in the rest of the world.
In other jurisdictions. What happens if, as you say, in the case of a minor under 18, because of course we know the vast majority of the candidates who write the matric exam are certainly over 18 by the time the results would be available to be published. But what happens if a minor or a guardian of a minor objects?
Well, if the right to object is afforded to everyone, whether they're over 18 or below 18, and if you object, your information cannot be published. So those mechanisms to cater for individuals that object for their results to be published must be put in place as well. And I then have to assume that those measurements are not in place. Either the ability for someone, a learner, to object to the publication of his or her information, or then for the department to withdraw that information from the list that will be published. So it becomes quite a technical and a cumbersome exercise at the end of the day.
Well, they'll have 2 days to sort it out. Amor Berger-Smit, appreciate your time. Director at Worksmen's Attorneys, helping us wade through that issue that is due to be heard in the High Court in Pretoria this morning. Where are you on this debate? Do you think the department made the right call here, or do you think perhaps they should have taken a step or two back and thought about the implications for all of those involved?